The Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. There has been a starting quarterback named on the 40 Acres, and that starting quarterback is Quinn Ewers. There's a Longhorn fans, there's a lot of, you know, rumors, a lot of conjecture out there, a lot of talk as to why it happened, right? Why it happened now, because Sark has been saying he's got an idea. The assumption was after the second scrimmage, that's when we'll hear the news about quarterback one, QB1, whoever it's going to be. And that wasn't the case. Even after speaking to the media yesterday, he just talked to the media.
Yes.
And then today they announced it. And by the way, Sark didn't announce it.
He did not.
John Bianca announced it.
Yes.
How often does the sports information director announce who the starting quarterback is over the head coach?
Mm-hmm.
That's a head coach job. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it adds to the speculation, a rumor. Like, why was it the information? Why was it either leaked out or why did they decide to release it in the manner in which they did? Why didn't Sark just say it yesterday? Yeah, why didn't Sark come out and say it today? Why didn't you just say, hey, emergency news conference, just quick, real quick, guys, starting quarterback, Quinn Ewers. And then why the change in 24 hours from yesterday to today? What would have happened in that little short time period to make Sark go, this is the guy, and then not proudly announce it himself? It's almost like the way the Kennedy assassination information came out. It just begs more questions. It doesn't answer any questions for Longhorn fans. They're like, why did it happen like that? That's weird.
Yeah,
and they were hearing Hudson Card earlier and that it was a really close competition, that kind of thing. So I just think that's why there's a lot of rumors and conjecture now about how it all went down and why it happened in the manner in which it did.
Yeah, because it was definitely one of those situations that we left yesterday talking about this. We decided that, hey, there was rumors that were out there last night. And then all of a sudden, I get a text, and I'm texting you, and I'm like, hey, man, how did this just happen? And then you find out it came from the SID, not even the head coach. That's very rare, especially at a school like this.
Yeah, it's just weird the way it all came out. That's all.
And we do see on the text line, I know people are saying that Quinn Ewers has a thing where he's making an announcement on there. That was not the starting job. There's another thing that will come out later today.
Yeah,
don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. There will be another announcement
today. That'll be something
today.
Else we'll talk about later.
Yeah, that was not the starting. That was not the starting announcement.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I said, really interesting the way it all played out, but the announcement has been officially made from the 40 Acres, so you do have you got the smoke, all right? The official smoke from the 40. Quinn Ewers will be the starting quarterback for Texas. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. We did talk about it the entire 3 o'clock hour, but we'll get back to the conversation, I assure you. Let's get to some Cowboys practice reports and nuggets from their joint practices with the Chargers and also the preseason primer, if you will, versus the Chargers coming up this weekend. Okay, so CeeLamb is there's no way he's going to play in the preseason game, right?
He should not.
There's
be
no
playing.
Way he's playing.
Exactly.
He didn't play. He didn't practice at all versus the Chargers.
No,
so
because
none of
he
the
had
because
he
practices.
Had a cut on his foot that ended up getting stitches, and they don't know how it happened or what happened. So this is another reason why the depth at the wide receiver position for the Dallas Cowboys is even more of a glaring problem. So if let's just say something happened to CeeDee Lamb, let's just say that he's your number one. He's out for the season. Who's your veteran that can take over for this squad? You don't have one. You do not have one that you can lean on to say, because everybody, regardless, I know we're going to get into the primer, but you sit here and you look at what Stephen Jones said about Dak Prescott. This is Dak's best camp that he's ever had. This has been the best he's looked in his career. Hold on, man. We got a small sample size of his career, number one. Number two, he doesn't have a number one receiver. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is supposed to be that. We don't know how CeeDee is going to react when he gets double teamed, when all the things are schemed towards him. We don't know that. Then you have Jalen Tolbert, who is very nice. Very, very nice.
He's been making plays.
He's definitely making some plays. But who is your other? Who's going to be it? Dalton Schultz? Okay, we're going to take that away. Oh, we need to rely heavily on what Zeke is going to do. You've been holding. You had 17 penalties in your first game.
Yeah.
Come on, man. There's a lot that needs to be desired for this Dallas Cowboy team. And I don't know. I haven't seen who is going to play for the Chargers, but you're about to get tested. If they play their stars, you're about to get tested.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if they're plan on playing their starters either.
Well, you only play three preseason games, so this would be the game that you want to play
them. This would be the game because you're definitely not going to play them.
You're not going to play them next week.
Preseason game. No, you're right about that. This would be the one. But, man, everybody's starting to deal with injuries. Hell, the Longhorns are starting to deal with a ton of injuries, too. It didn't hit them in the first kind of week and a half, 2 weeks of training camp. But now I just think after people have started banging the pads for a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, starting to see the injuries mount up for all the teams at the higher levels of football. So CeeDee Lamb's dealing with injury. But I will say this, and you've talked about it. Noah Brown now is also sidelined with an injury, too. I mean, they have been beaten.
Patrick, how many years is this?
It's a mash unit, that wide receiver group.
This is, yeah, his fifth year of playing. He missed a year in the middle, so it would be his sixth year.
So here he is again. So where are you at with your depth, and who's going to step up? TJ Vasher, let's go, baby. Give yourself an opportunity right here. But is Dak going to be your quarterback? Because you still don't know who your backup is.
You know how I feel about Noah Brown. I've told you that. I think Noah Brown is just a Jag, and I think he'll, and I'm nothing against him.
Right.
How many guys do they have to start at the number two wide receiver with James Washington and Michael Gallup out if they're both out week one? Who is your number two?
Right now, Simi Fehoko could be that guy.
Everybody's been saying that he's having a great camp.
He's having a great camp. Jalen Tolbert, you already brought up, is having a great camp, but those guys are unproven commodities. You have not seen them in game action. Replicate the same results you've seen in practice.
Right.
So that would be going on faith that those guys are going to step up in the game and make big time plays for you. So that would be concerning. One of the things I love, and this is a tweet that it really got me excited. I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but I was titillated for Cowboys fans. So Zeke was being asked about the running game, and here's a tweet from Killen Moore. He says, Zeke, when asked, covers the Cowboys, Zeke, when asked about the run game, doesn't talk about Pollard as a backup. He brings Tony up unprompted when asked about the run game and says he is a part of a tandem now.
Yeah.
And Zeke has no ego about saying he is a part of a tandem now. And I wonder if the coaches have been communicating that to him, or is that just him saying, you know what? No, man. What's best for this team? Like, what's going to be better for the offense in order for the offense to produce the most explosive plays they can possibly produce and reach their potential? Is me and my man Tony Pollard sharing the load and sharing the spotlight in the backfield?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because yesterday Calvin Watkins, who covers the Cowboys and does great work up there in Dallas, he tweeted a picture out or video out of Pollard and Zeke on the field, Pollard running in motion, and they got the ball to him. And he said, it's just not lip service anymore. This is a true situation where the Cowboys are going to have to. It's made for TV right now. They have to make sure that Pollard is one of the features of this team moving forward.
Yeah. No, I've been asking for it for a while. I'm glad the Cowboys, and probably out of necessity more than anything, are starting to weaponize Tony Pollard. Dak's looked good this offseason. Have you heard bad reports about Dak?
I've not heard anything bad. But again, I sit here and I said, you know, Stephen Jones says Dak is having the best camp of his NFL career.
I don't disagree with that, considering the weapons he's throwing to.
Right. Well, here's the other part of it. And this is one of the things that I was talking about earlier in the week, Rod. It was like people are making a big deal about the fact that he's lost some weight, he looks slimmer, and they're talking about running. We have to remember this. He was coming off of a broken leg last year.
Very true.
So the thought of him trying to run and wanting to run is totally different than what it is this year. He's in a better shape. He's in a better place mentally and physically about being able to throw the ball on the run and not having those little hiccups. Because let's not forget, he threw a touchdown against New England, and next thing you know, we hear a report of him having a bad calf.
Yeah.
That's because he was still rehabbing during that time. So it was one of those things that you continue to look at and say, all right, is he going to be ready to take that next step? I would think that he could, but he doesn't have that number one that you can feel consistent with that can help him be that guy.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
Aaron Rodgers, he's always complaining about his wide receivers, but let's not forget, Davante Adams was a 99 on Madden. He was that type of dude. Aaron Rodgers was always like, oh, they don't ever go get me any players. I'm like, your running back Aaron Jones was a stud. He was a t- top of the line all pro. Your wide receiver was an all pro.
That's right.
So don't tell me that you didn't have weapons. You had weapons.
Yeah.
So don't give me that.
No, Dak is on the record now for saying the same thing Jerry Jones said. He believes they're in a better position at right now than they were at this time last season. And well, that's the guy that had Amari Cooper last year,
that's
and
what I'm looking
Wilson
at.
Last year, and Lyle Collins on the offensive line. And he's saying they're in a better position right now. I don't agree with that offensive, but I will say this. You didn't know what Micah Parsons was
right.
this time last
you
year.
You did not.
You didn't know what Trevon Diggs was this time last year.
Yeah.
So, and Dan Quinn's influence. So maybe, you know, from the inside, yeah. he's speaking about them having, you know, a
better understanding of what's going on with
well,
them.
Well, yeah, but also that there's better kind of leadership overall and yep. a better vision. He's talking about as a team, not just the offense. We're looking at just the offense, and we're thinking, yep. man, the offense doesn't look as explosive. It doesn't look as prolific as it did last year. Maybe he's looking at the overall team.
Yeah.
Special teams, defense. The defense should be a good defense.
Yeah, it should
be.
I mean,
it should be a top 10 defense.
Yeah, when you look at their depth chart,
consider
what
it came
up
last
like
year.
Yeah.
Because we've heard the defensive line, actually. I heard Neville Gallimore is having a good camp.
Ooh, yeah, I've been hearing
right?
that. Yeah,
he's been
a monster.
Oh, Jordan Lewis got hurt, who was starting nickel back for the Cowboys. And I'm hearing Deron Bland.
Yeah.
Has stepped up, and now he's
undrafted
having.
Undrafted, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a fifth round.
Fifth round.
But late, no, late pick, though. Late pick. Nobody yeah. thought he might not even make the team.
Right.
167th, I think, overall. And apparently he's had the best two or three days of camp he's had since the Jordan Lewis injury has happened, because he's gotten a lot of starting reps, got an interception, 3 PBUs last practice.
I love it.
You know, so maybe Jabril Cox apparently is now full speed and getting a lot of reps with the ones. My thing is that maybe Dak is looking at it from the overall team perspective and not just the offense. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, because you can't look at the offense and think that, hey.
That they're better.
Well, right, because you got 17 penalties that you got to get figured out.
Exactly.
That's until you clean up that O-line, because they talk about Dak running. I'm like, by the time Dak is running, there's a flag on the field.
Yeah.
Like, by the time the O-line breaks down enough that he is running, there will be a flag on the field, because these refs are calling for everything. Like, they're dead on watching this Cowboys O-line. Whether it's fair or not, they are going to be this year. So you know, by the time it breaks down, someone's arm came out. And by the time someone's arm comes out, there's
That's
a flag
it.
On the field.
Great point.
And so when they go, Dak's going to run, and go, why? So he can get hit on and go back 10 yards?
Yeah.
You know what? And I would love to see the research on how many of those, because I think they led the NFL in offensive holding penalties.
Yeah.
How many of those are when Dak leaves the pocket?
Yeah.
Or when he decides to scramble, and they don't know where he is. So they're like, I got to stay with my guy. I got to keep my guy from getting the quarterback. That's a great point, Patrick. I totally agree with that. Okay, real quick, for Cowboys fans out there, here may be a little nugget that I did not expect. So we know that boss man Fats, Kelvin Joseph, second round pick for the Cowboys, who last year didn't play because of the injury, but he's expected this year to at least compete for the starting spot opposite Trevon Diggs. Well, apparently there is some now. There are some reports.
Yes, it is.
From, I think, reliable sources like Brian brought us, that they think not only is he underperforming, that there's a chance he may not make the team. Here's Bobby Belt and Brian brought us.
Yeah.
They were asked about the corner battle on the 53-man roster, and Nick's quote was, "We'll see about Kelvin Joseph, but at this point, I don't think it's a lock, even though he's a second-round pick." So, yeah. Kelvin Joseph, uneasy or unconcerned?
I would believe in what Nick Eatman's saying right now. And if I'm Kelvin Joseph, I would be a little uneasy about his roster spot if I was him. Now, where does it fall on Bland and Wright? You know, those guys, I think if we handicapped, I know if I handicapped it right now, it'd be Bland, Wright, and Joseph would be my guys.
There you go.
Love it.
And, of course, they love Anthony Brown. Remember, they said Anthony Brown last year actually had a better year than people thought. So, Hards, they're saying they may not even need Kelvin Joseph. That, to me, says the defense in the back end could be much improved from last year.
That's that boss man Fats. He's over there. He got issues. He had a problem during the offseason. Then he comes in and is not performing. Well, you know, you could sit here and cut bait. But I still consent to your point of what you said. You're looking at the quarterback, Deron Bland. He's doing well. Jordan Lewis, who everybody always tries to throw off to the side. All he does is go out there and ball.
He's one of the best ball hawks. Other than Trevon Diggs, but he's one of the better ball hawks.
Right, yeah. He's always making plays, but there were times where he wasn't being used until Dan Quinn got here.
True that.
Because the previous defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, did not want him. He was trying to move him away all the time.
What a terrible experiment.
Exactly.
Nolan, I forgot all about that. Yeah, I really forgot all about that.
Thanks, man.
That was a terrible experiment. That's why Mike McCarthy lost a lot of street cred.
Right.
Because everybody told him that was a bad hire. Everybody.
Yes.
There was a unanimous agreement. This is a terrible hire. You should not hire this guy. This guy's he's bad news. Mike McCarthy, don't do it.
Yep.
And he went against the grain, thinking he was the smartest guy in the room. Turns out, no, you were the idiot, and everybody warned you this was a bad hire. You failed the idiot test.
Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum.
Right?
I got my buddy. He was watching film with me, and then we found out they weren't even really watching film.
Turns out he didn't lie.
They was lying about watching film.
Hey, all of us have lied on a job application or stretched the truth in an interview, so I'm not getting on him for that because I've done that before, too, all right?
Yeah, here's the thing. Yes, we have done that, but we made up for it. He came out, and his guy was terrible.
It was terrible.
He was terrible.
One of the worst defenses in the history of the Cowboys.
Yes.
But then he hired Dan Quinn.
And that's where the
He's going to get this guy. He's getting credit for it.
And then if we want to talk about hiring coaches, if we're saying that O-line and the problems they're having right now, that's another Mike McCarthy guy and Joe Philbin.
Yes.
That's his OC in Green Bay.
That's so true.
Everyone, and I know everyone was excited about when Philbin came in because they were like, this guy's an OC. We're getting an offensive line. Man, we're getting another offensive mind in here.
That's true.
But all reports is he hates most of those O-linemen. He is very, very rough on them. And they are still getting penalized like crazy.
Yeah, and then remember the report from Brian Broaddus, who we just heard from, that he and some, they may not have been on board necessarily with the first round pick of Tyler Smith.
Right,
He may have had some disagreement there. The Cowboys, to me, that there is a chance for them to win double-digit games this year, win a division, but they're going to have to do it more complimentary football style rather than having one of the best offenses in the history of the NFL like they did last year, which was the case. I mean, they had one of the best offenses in the history of the league.
Yep.
It'll look different this year. And I think the defense is going to be a big part of that. And hopefully for the special teams. But my belief this year, the special teams may be a bit of a liability. And that's going to bring down the win total potentially just because that's margin for error right there.
Big time.
And the Cowboys don't have a ton of margin for error. You're right now, you can't even find a kicker that you trust.
Yeah.
Hopefully that works out for him too.
Yeah, and we still trying to figure out the kicking game, like you said. We're still trying to figure out who's going to be the number one wide receiver. You're still trying to figure out who's going to be the leaders on the corners. As you were talking about, Trevon Diggs is the guy, but who's going to be opposite him?
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Brown. We've talked about all these little things that add up to be big things because you get exposed in all those things. Because what is the NFL known for? Finding your weakness and exploiting it.
Very true.
If they can find it and they can exploit it, you're going to get embarrassed. And here we are again talking about where we're looking at the NFC East and the Cowboys in it, and everybody keeps assuming, oh, they can win that. They can win that. Look at what Philadelphia did this offseason.
I like that. Yeah, I'm with you on that Philly.
And
take.
Everybody continues to look at them and say, well, I don't know because of Jalen Hurts. Look at their defense. Look at their running game. Look at their wide receivers. They made moves to keep up with everybody else in the NFC, and the Cowboys are staying stagnant. This could be a long year, folks.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't make a lot of moves, but they're trusting that the investments they've made in the draft are going to pay off big time.
Right.
And we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That's why we're here.
They love the homegrown recipe. All right, let's get to USC. They do not like the homegrown recipe.
Woo!
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 6, the USC Trojans.
All right, some people say this might be the greatest fight song of all time. All right, they are big fans of the USC fight song. And this year, USC getting a lot of love, especially from the Horn Top 20 Countdown. We got them at number 6. And mostly because I think, Harts, we respect Lincoln Riley more than other people because Lincoln Riley Dominated the Big 12 for so long, which also means he got the best of Texas more oftentimes than not. So I'm of the belief that Lincoln Riley is going to go there and just pick up exactly where he left off. He's weaponized the transfer portal probably better than any coach in the history of college football. Brought Caleb Williams with him. Got a Biletnikoff Award winner. Jordan Addison now part of that group. Also, Travis Dye, the Oregon running back, transferred Stanford. Yeah. Austin Jones transfer. I mean, he's got a ton of transfers. Nobody in the country has taken advantage of the transfer portal to their advantage more so than USC.
23. To be exact.
Crazy.
23 transfers. And I know everybody's sitting there, and even USC fans are like, they were 4-8 last year. Why would you pick them? Why and how are they that high? We've seen Lincoln Riley up close and personal, and the players that he has to put in those positions, this is going to be an explosive team. I said it earlier because I happened to be in with Jeff and Craig Way on Light the Tower today. And what I told them was, all gas, no brakes is Sark's mantra. That is exactly how Lincoln Riley is going to look at it, because everybody wants to talk about the defense and say, oh, what are their defense going to do? It doesn't matter if you're scoring 65 points. They're going to go out there and try to turn it up on every single team. And they understand if there is a place that Alex Grinch is trying to figure out with that defense and going into the Pac-12, how do I need to go about this? I think he's going to be just fine, because not only did they bring in a bunch of guys on the offensive side of the ball through the transfer portal, they did the exact same thing on the defensive side of the ball. So they understand what they're trying to get done. We talked about the local flavor earlier today. Lake McCree, who was at Lake Travis, was there. They also have Malcolm Epps as a tight end,
who was there. Right,
and making sure that he's there. They got Xavion Alford, who used to be here at the University of Texas. So they went out there and got some guys and made things happen. So don't sleep on USC, because I think they're going to be one of the most talented teams out there.
Yeah, I'm an Alex Grinch fan too, so I like what they've done on defense. The offensive line is somewhat of an issue for me, but they got a Virginia transfer tackle, Bobby Haskins. Also, they have an All-Pac-12 caliber guard in Andrew Voorhees and a four-year starting center in Brett Nealon. So at least they got something to build around on the offensive line. All right, what you got for the people coming up on Hard Knock Life?
We got another Lifetime Longhorn coming on. Obviously, we got the news that came out on the 40 acres today, so we're going to ask him about it. And we're going to also talk about that defense, because he was one of the coldest ones out there, just like my man Rob Babers.
Oh, no, he was much colder than Rob Babers. Even Rob Babers will admit that. No doubt about it. He's a beast, man. No question. All right, we going to talk to one of the GOATs of DBU when we come back right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks, but in front of your own speak, my man.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to a 512 Friday right here on Ball Don't Lie. It's your boy Harbaugh Harge. You can follow me on Twitter at Harbaugh Harge. You can follow my man sitting across from me, Lifetime Longhorn Rob Babers, at Rob Babers.
Shout out.
And you can also follow the man behind the glass at It's Patrick Davis. We also love it when you're a part of the show on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. And joining us now on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, he is a Lifetime Longhorn. He is one of the coldest to ever do it. He played in the NFL for a long time. Now he's slanging cupcakes and giving people information on the Longhorn Network. He is my man and yours, Michael Griffin. What's up, Mike?
Man, how you doing? How you doing?
We good. We good, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. And obviously, you know, we know you're a busy man. You got your kids doing all these sports and running around. You're riding your motorcycles on Coda. You've been slanging cupcakes, man. First off, tell us how the cupcake business is going.
Man, it's going good, actually. We just got done filming a season-long episode with Roku. And so we just a six-episode season, so that's going great. And just things just continue to just keep popping up for us, so we're very, very blessed. But outside of that, I mean, we're all doing great. I mean, it's all a blessing for us to be able to transition from the NFL to the real world. So we're very blessed.
What's the name of the show?
They haven't came up with a name yet.
Okay.
We already filmed everything. Now they're trying to come up with the different names and things. They don't know, but it's a process that we still got one more day of filming to do some pickup lines this weekend, and then hopefully we'll be done. It'll go into production. They would do all their edits and whatnot, and hopefully the first quarter of 2023, the show will be released.
All right, man. You and Rack. I can't wait to see it, man. It's going to be fun. So, Mike, there was a big announcement on the 40 Acres today. Quinn Ewers became the starting quarterback for the University of Texas football team. There's been a lot of conversation about it. What are your thoughts on the announcement and how it all went down?
It's from my understanding and just hearing from other people and things, neither quarterback typically separated themselves from each other. So, I think it might have been a toss-up. I think it's one of those things when Sarkisian said that, hey, whoever I go with, I'm going to stick with that person. I'm not going to go back and forth. But we all seen how this thing has happened in the past. Somebody's your starter. Somebody gets nicked up, gets banged up a little bit or whatnot. And then the next quarterback comes in and gets his opportunity and things of that nature. Am I completely sold on which quarterback? No. I know from the past, and I know Rob Abers, you could probably attest to this. You see some quarterbacks the first year, you know, things don't look so great. But yep. By year two and three, next thing you know, they look like a completely different person. Mm-hmm. I say that to – you can look at Colt McCoy to what his career ended up being. You can look at Vince Young as his redshirt freshman year to what he ended up going to win two Rose Bowls. So is it over for Hudson Carr? I don't think so. But I just think that right now it's still an uphill battle when it comes to both quarterbacks, because if one is not getting it done, you know, the question is going to be with Sarkisian is, are you going to give somebody else another opportunity? Are you going to give Hudson an opportunity, or are you just going to ride it throughout the season for the ups and the downs? So, you know, at the end of the day, you just hope that each quarterback has some success and have a bright future ahead of both of them.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with Griffin. Even though we know, you know, obviously the quarterback position is important, the offense is going to be revolve around Bijan, right? Bijan's going to be the identity of the offense. So to me, my concerns are more about the defense this year than the offense, but obviously I'm a little bit biased like yourself. Give me your thoughts about the secondary. I got to know this. You know that Sark has decided they want to be a defense that can play more man coverage on the back end. So they've made some personnel changes in the back seven. Give me your thoughts about bringing in Ron Watson, the transfer portal. Jade Barron now supposed to be the projected starting nickel. They also like Jalen Gilbo there, but Anthony Cook at safety, Keaton Crawford, Jaren Thompson. Give me your thoughts about the secondary and the coverage overall.
Well, you know what? The thing is, we both know this. I always hated that whole, you know, you're the number one safety, you're the number two safety in the country. I hate that. I always felt like the best defensive backs need to be on the field. That's just how I personally looked at it. I never liked the whole, you know, he's a safety. I never liked that. Hey, if I got seven good defensive backs, you got to find a way to put all seven on the field, whether it's linebacker or whatever it is. And sooner or later, you probably can go back to your traditional position or whatever. But you know what? With Cook and all these guys who have cornerback position, who has nickelback position, if you're putting them in as a safety position, if you're putting them in as a corner position, whatever it is, if you want to go out there and play man like they used to do back in the day, hey, you got to have the best six, seven DBs out there at all times. And that's just what you're going to have to do. So being in the Big 12, you know, it's a pass-happy type league. And so you're going to have guys that can cover. You know, you need big hitters and big safeties, the 6'2", 210-pound safeties. The answer is absolutely not. No. I mean, you don't need that. You need guys that can cover and just get people down on the ground. So if that's the way he wants to go with it, with Barron, with Gilbo, the two young guys, but then also you want to come with Cook at safety, Watts and things of that nature as the boundary corner, Jamison coming back for his extra year. If you can put the best defensive backs on the field that gives you the best opportunity of winning ball games, then that's what you need to do. In the past, I mean, it's been pretty much a disgrace of just watching that these quarterbacks just had their time with Texas secondary in the passing game of just, if you're not able to get pressure, you got to be able to cover, but it all works hand in hand. If I can cover for 2 to 3 seconds, that gives my D-line 2 to 3 seconds to get there to the quarterback, and it all works hand in hand. So collectively, if the D-line can get pressure, the back half can cover, it should all work tremendously well. But again, when you go back to saying the offense is going to go through Bijan, it is. And with that being said, with younger quarterbacks, you're probably going to want to try to get the ball out their hand very quickly. And so that's going to put a lot of pressure on the defense. So it's going to be that pretty much, again, that bend but don't break style defense that you're going to have to try to keep them off the scoreboard or hold them to field goals and things of that nature, because we already know with the injuries at receiver, the injury to offensive line, you know, it's going to be a tough season, but some people are going to have an opportunity to step up, and then hopefully some guys do step up and have a good season this year.
So we're talking to Lifetime Longhorn Michael Griffin. You can follow him and see him on the Longhorn Network with his great analysis. Mike, I'm sitting here, Rod and I were talking about this before too. We're still trying to figure out who's going to be those guys on the front line, not the offensive side, but on that defensive side. You know, who are some of the guys that are going to step up? We've been hearing a lot of talk about Vernon Broughton. We've been hearing a lot more about Byron Murphy. To me, I think Byron Murphy needs to be that guy that is going to be that Roy Miller type of attitude, because to me, he's almost built just like Roy, and he looks to be having a great camp. What are your thoughts on Byron Murphy?
I love Byron Murphy. I mean, ever since he stepped foot on the field, I mean, he always makes things happen. He's a very strong young man. He's only going to get stronger. He has the right attitude. You love everything about him. I think he's one of those guys, you got to just keep him on the field. I know you want to rotate the D-line, and I know you got older guys that's been there for a while, like Colburn and things of that nature. But in my personal opinion, and I would say it, is that, hey, if you ain't done it the first, second, third, fourth, possibly the fifth year, you ain't going to do it the sixth year. I'm just being honest with you. It's just, at no point is it just going to click if it hasn't clicked for you in the last 2 to 3 or 4 years. So a guy like Byron Murphy needs to stay on the field. But somebody else has to step up too. I mean, you start seeing flashes of this guy's and these guys and these guys, but at this moment in time, we've been having the same conversation over and over and over and over. It comes a time where, hey, from within this locker room, they got to step up and they got to want it more than everybody else around them wants it. And so I think a guy like Bob Murphy, yes, he sets the tone. I think he's a guy that you come in the game, he makes things happen. And the Marvion Overshown, when he's healthy, he plays at a high caliber. The issue, I think, is it's a long season. When the defense stays out on the field for a long period of time, so you got to play a long season. You know, he gets banged up. He's not the biggest guy, but when he's on the field, he makes things happen. So they got to find at least 3 to 4 guys out of the 11 that's on the field that are just going to constantly generate and make plays over and over and over again. And I think that's right there where they're missing. It's somebody that you know that, hey, you need, like Joseph Osai, when you need a play, you knew Joseph Osai was going to make a play. I think Byron Murphy can hold that type of standard that when you need a play, he can make a play. And so I'm very excited to watch him. I think he's had a tremendous career so far, and I think with more playing time, with more opportunities, he's only going to get better and better and better. So he's definitely a guy that I feel like needs to be on the field at least 80 to 75% of the time when these games are coming up.
Before we let you go, Mike, because I know you're a busy man, who is your breakout player of the year? I know it's a little bit early. Who are you trying to look at to say, you know what, I want to see that kid blow up this year?
You know what? I was in Lil Galindo and everybody on LA10, they I kept telling, I was really, really, especially after that West Virginia game, I was really excited to see what Hudson Carr would do in year number 2. I don't think we're going to have that opportunity. I don't know. But I was excited just to see if he does take that next step. I mean, again, that's just one thing that I noticed, even with the National Football League. I mean, that first year, you're getting your feet wet. But that second year, once you learn, you have a whole offseason, especially last year with the whole COVID thing, you know, a new coaching staff, having a second year under Sarkisian, having a second year understanding the offense or whatever, I was really excited to see what he could do. But I guess I got to go back to now, Xavier Worthy, to see, was it just a one-year wonder, or is it something that he's going to be able to come back out and do it again, especially now that he's looking around and saying, hey, I might have thought I had some help with Nair on the other side to take a little bit of pressure off of me. Now I got a different quarterback throwing me the ball. Is it going to be, can I hit that 1,000-yard mark? Can I be consistent as I was last year? Can I hold up? Can I carry the team on my back as a second-year player? Because just going into this season, you are not, you know, everybody knows you. Your name is circled. Like, when we go into the game, this is the guy we got to stop. So can he be a guy like CeeDee Lamb, like Hollywood Brown, those type of caliber players that was in the Big 12? Can he be that type of guy that week in and week out he's going to have exciting plays and make things happen? So, yes, I know he's had some success as a freshman, but kidding. We saw Caden Stearns freshman year come out, I believe, 4 interceptions. And then from there, we kept looking, is he going to take that next step? And then, you know, he got banged up the second year, the third year, he managed to opt out. But now, Xavier Worthy, it's your turn. It's your time again. Are you going to be that guy that takes that next step? And can you take the next step going into your junior year? So I'm very excited to see, can he take that next step? Can he put the team on his back at any given moment? Hey, give him the ball. He can make some things happen.
Yeah, we're waiting on that too, man. Mike, thank you so much, man. I know you've been busy, man. And hopefully I'll see you around the soccer fields here coming up pretty soon, huh?
Man, you'd be just amazed where I'm at right now. I'm at the football field. But it ain't for my son. It's for my daughter. She out here playing middle school football.
Huh, that's right. Is she playing the quarterback position?
Yeah, seventh grade. So I'm out here at the school out here watching. You got the helmet and the pads on. And I'm like, okay, let's see what you got.
Well, I've seen her throw that thing. She can sling it. I've been waiting to find out what was going to happen. So I'm glad you brought that up, brother.
Oh, yeah, she had it. So I got, you know, it's my time and everything. I enjoy it. I promise you, this is like the best time of my life. Screw me playing football. I enjoy watching my kids.
I love it.
That's what's up, bro.
Hey, man, well, enjoy yourself. Let me know how it goes tonight, man. I appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right. Thank y'all. I'll let you
later. Thanks,
man. Yeah, there he is, man. His daughter is cold too. By the way,
how old is his daughter?
She's a seventh grader.
Seventh grade.
Yeah, she's left handed. She throws the ball left handed.
She's playing QB.
She's playing quarterback.
Wow.
Griff coached a team this year with his daughter that was all girls football team, and they played in all the boys tournament, and they were getting trophies as well. So,
wow.
So yeah, she's cold with it too.
That's crazy.
And his son is playing football at Bowie this year too, his older son, ninth grade.
Oh yeah. All right.
Yep.
What is he playing? You know position?
I think he's a running back.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Got them good jeans.
Them jeans are strong, jeans. Bro.
Yeah, I would thank Mike Griff. I mean, he's round the verge of me calling him a legendary lifetime Longhorn. I know to justify, I don't know what the criteria is for him, but
yeah.
Man, Mike, considering he went to school here in the ATX, so he's also kind of a local legend as well.
Yes, he is.
And then went to Texas and helped them win a national title. Trust me, that DBU room anyway, he's a legendary.
Yeah, that wall over there with them DBUs there, that's pretty nice wall.
Griff's a beast. I remember his brother was a good player, too.
Oh, for sure.
Marcus was a good player as well back in the day. So, anyway, shout out to my man Mike Griff. Shout out to Harsh. He, like I said, he know every damn body. I told y'all that when he first got the gig. I was like, y'all going to like him because he know every damn body. Every time I think I know somebody, they know Harsh or Harsh know them.
No.
All right, we come back. He don't know Tom Brady. Not that I know of.
No.
But maybe he can tell us why Tom Brady's on hiatus because nobody else can. There's a conspiracy theory that I think you are going to love.
Yeah.
We'll break it down on either side right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Off the Record right here on Ball Don't Lie. As we know, Tom Brady is in the middle of a hiatus currently. And the coaching staff, the front office of the Bucks, they're saying it is not anything they're concerned about at all. They say they expect him back after the second preseason game. They say this is also something that they were informed of beforehand, so it was anticipated, not something that came up out of nowhere, which means we don't anticipate it being a family member being sick, because family members being sick, something that came out of nowhere, like, oh, man, I got to go. It's an emergency. So not an emergency. It's something that they had already on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Knew what was going to happen. All the players are like, oh, no, we trust Tom Brady's going to be back. No big deal. You guys freaking out about nothing. He's the GOAT. So now there's some conspiracy theories out there coming up with reasons as to why they're being so secretive
and clandestine about details about why Tom Brady's out. This is the longest hiatus we've ever seen from a player in a training camp.
Come on.
Without it being a holdout or a hold in or something like that. He's just away. And it's, like I said, not injury related and not personal in the fact that it's a family emergency. So here's the latest conspiracy theory.
Do we not think it's a family emergency? Because don't forget, his mom was sick before.
It could be a planned surgery ahead of time.
Right.
Like okay. Maybe that was it, but it's not somebody who they got sick all
of
a sudden.
Gotcha.
And I got to leave. My mom's sick right now. I got to go.
Gotcha.
She just told me that, you know, it's dire.
Gotcha.
It was something that was planned ahead of time. Now, usually that's not considered, if you can plan ahead, that kind of stuff, it's not considered that dire. It's like, you planned ahead. So, but still, we don't know what it is. Nobody knows. So here's the conspiracy theory. This comes off of Reddit, so to let you guys know. It's off of the Reddit, but it's blowing up. And the conspiracy theory is that Tom Brady is off filming The Masked Singer. Just signed a blockbuster deal with Fox. Very just signed that deal that when he's done officially, that he is going to be a Fox. Here's some of the details around the conspiracy theory. He signed to be an on-air guy with Fox. And remember, that big deal. I forgot how much money, but it's a ton of money.
$25 million a year, right?
Yeah, it's a ton of money.
It's a lot of
money. It's a lot of money. And it could be as simple as, hey, man, we need you to be in a Masked Singer. Sorry, two episodes. You're done. Whatever. Remember, Rob Gronkowski did it, which do we know they're BFFs? Terry Bradshaw has done it. And there are some people saying that that's why it was planned ahead of time. That's why it's no big deal. That's why the Bucks are a little bit passive aggressive about it. Like, yeah, I don't want to. Todd Bowles said, I don't want to talk about it. He was like, I don't want to address it. He's coming back after the second preseason game. He said, I don't want to talk about it, though. Because coaches would not want to talk about something like that. And what if I talk about the NBAification of the NFL? Right? Where NBA, the NBA is a Bravo reality TV
Brown
league.
Is right.
Hey. And they tell Brady's like, hey, man, I signed this big deal. They had one stipulation was that, could I help them promote The Masked Singer and go on there? Was Antonio Brown on The Masked Singer too?
No, Antonio Brown got on Tom Brady about it.
Yeah, because he said
it's not fair that I can't just take off time whenever I want.
Oh, okay.
And he can. Stealing money and blah, blah. But I will tell you, that makes more sense than Tom Brady wanting a work-life balance.
Exactly.
Doesn't that?
It does.
That's absurd.
When they said that, you were like, you mean Tom took off 3 months and was like, you know what? I just got to be around my kids more. No. No one believes that.
Nobody believes because he tried that. Or whatever. Maybe he wasn't trying to actually.
That is an unbelievable conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Oh, no. Antonio Brown was on, actually. He was on The Masked Singer, actually, back in the day. So I was right about that. I don't know why I know that. Continue, please.
That's why you knew because that was probably one of your guilty pleasures.
You know,
right?
I watch a lot of reality TV.
Exactly.
So you're saying Todd Bowles is getting phone calls where he's like, they keep voting me through. I didn't know. I got golden pipes. I gotta get back for preseason.
It's a Brady like any like 6'4", 6'5", tall?
Yeah, but he said a giant suit.
You can't tell who's in there. You can't tell
who's
in there.
I don't know. It's gonna be
He's not Shaq.
If that is the case, guys, that is gonna be wild. Then my NBAification theory of the NFL is already taken over. It's done. Because that would mean he has more power than any player in the history of the NFL.
He's got more power than the NBA. LeBron ain't taking off preseason to be on TV.
Yeah, you're right. I've never heard it happen in sports, professional sports, period. Well, at least in American pro sports.
Exactly. That is why everybody is sitting here asking the question. Your team needs you there. You got a bunch of different types of players.
It's just a conspiracy theory. It may not be true, but
if it comes out that we watched the Masked Singer and he is one of the people to get eliminated, I'm gonna be pissed off.
He would be the biggest star on the Masked Singer, right? I haven't kept up with who's the biggest star on that, but he would be the biggest star.
I can't imagine anyone's bigger than a guy who's about to go play in the NFL. Like, he's not retired.
He's not retired. He's been gone how many days now? A week? Is it a week?
It's been almost 2.5. He was supposed to be gone for 2 weeks.
These reality TV shows, trust me, I know this. They take a while to film.
Well, we should have asked. If you'd have told me this before, I would have asked Michael Griffin, how long is it taking you to film this stuff?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
It takes a little while.
Yeah.
Takes a little while. So that's the conspiracy theory, is that Tom Brady off shooting The Masked Singer. That's why there's no red alert. There's no emergency alarms as to why he's away. And nobody's panicked because they know exactly where he is. but they have not revealed it.
That's interesting.
Just a theory. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into no longer a theory. We know who QB1 is on the 40 Acres. It is Quinn Ewers. We will discuss on the other side. We'll hear from Sark a little bit as well. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.